Welcome to our weekly devotion. I've mentioned before that I'm often struck at the way the one-year Bible has the one I use has a reading from the Old Testament, a reading from the New Testament, a psalm and a proverb. And it goes through Psalms and Proverbs twice in a year. And I'm often struck by how the Old Testament, New Testament readings, and then the Psalm and Proverbs reading have a similar theme. And of course, that shouldn't surprise me because the Bible does. The Bible has one main theme all throughout it. And so, of course, the parts of it reinforce, but sometimes it gets really specific and certain ideas come through very clearly. I want to kind of share that with you and maybe encourage you and ask you, do you see that as you read? As part of reading carefully and with attention and diligently seeking for the pearl of great price in the scripture, that we see these things. And so I was struck, I'm reading through Joshua right now, chapter 7. And after all the admonitions to Israel, after this generation had seen their parents be unfaithful and die in the desert. They'd gone into the land. They'd been circumcised, which means they reconfirm their covenant, their need for redemption. Then they're told very specifically how to defeat Jericho, and they do it. And they're commanded not to take anything from Jericho. But chapter 7 of Joshua starts out, but the people of Israel broke faith in regard to the devoted things for Achan, the son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the people of Israel. And so you know the rest of the story at the battle with Ai, how that works out. But you might say, well, that's just one person, and he's a bad apple. Maybe, but again, he had all that same witness to him, that same revelation. And it shows how we're affected. One person here, his sin affects the entire congregation. And it doesn't say, but one man. It doesn't start that way. It says, but the people of Israel broke faith. And so the sin in the camp affects everybody. And then I turned over to Luke 15. And here Jesus is giving the parable of the lost sheep. And then he gives a parable of the lost coin. So the lost sheep reminding us that. He recounts how a good shepherd goes looking for that lost sheep or the woman who's lost a silver coin. I mean, any of us, you lose a silver coin, you're going to look for it. Then those two kind of set up as introductions to the prodigal son. And oh, it's only in Luke that we have the parable of the prodigal son. You should know that story, of course. And the son returns home after having been left to himself. He's gone into sin. He's been in rebellion. He squandered the inheritance he was given. And then in the pinnacle of his suffering or the deepest valley of his suffering, he reasons that God could restore him or that his father could forgive him, which of course in the parable, the father represents God. And so you have this picture here, and the Pharisees were upset. Back up to the top here. The Pharisees were upset. Says the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So that stood out to me. Here we have God, who's receiving sinners and eating with them. And I'm thinking here back to Joshua, right? God, the creator and redeemer who made us and we turn in rebellion, and he's long suffering with us and he restores us. But the Pharisees can't handle being around sinners and they think he's violating. They've so set up their traditions that to eat with sinners violates them when instead they're supposed to be a light to the world. They're supposed to be the ones that are able to witness to others. Now they're worried about their ritual cleanliness. What if I become unclean? Well, the answer is even if you kept that law and you did decide, okay, I'm unclean, I can't go into the tabernacle or the temple right now. Even if you did say that, you've helped a brother out. And so I saw this theme, okay, how does God deal with our sin? There are consequences to sin, but also God is long suffering with us. And when I turned to Psalm 81 in verse 11, you have God saying, "My people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I gave them over to their stubborn hearts to follow their own counsel." And then you have God here saying, "Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe toward him and their fate would last forever. But he would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with honey from the rock I would satisfy you. So God, thinking about this, and reminding me of Jesus then, lamenting over Jerusalem. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And he'd called Jerusalem to repent. They hadn't listened. The Pharisees had been called, and their hearts were hardened. Achan had heard this command, and his heart was hardened. And then I turn to Proverbs 13, and verse 1 says, a wise son hears his father's instruction, but a scoffer does not listen to rebuke. And that's our earthly father who instructs us in the word of God, but also it's our heavenly father. Achan did not listen to his heavenly father. The Pharisees did not listen to his heavenly father. In Psalm 81, the people of God are not listening to God. And so a wise son among us, all of us, we could be a wise son in this sense if we're 5 or if we're 80. A wise son listens to God the Father's instructions. And living a life where you don't listen to that is like living a life of a scoffer. You've scoffed at God's law. You've rejected it. And we see many people in our increasingly godless society today scoffing at God's law, mocking it, making fun of it, and turning to their own path. And so these themes stood out to me, especially given a revelation from God. The people of God are given a revelation from God, and they don't listen. That leads to these sins. But a wise son would listen. So thank you for joining me this week.